Okay, we're finishing up in Halacha Aleph, Sim Kuvita Halacha Aleph. So we talk about two different things that are one part of their question is related, and that's what's connected to our din, beer and sake. I don't know if I pronounced that correctly.
But sake.
Sake, okay. Yes, yes. So first we'll do beer.
That's a sake.
Right, so first we'll do beer. The obvious reason to talk about beer in this din is because, of course, because talks about Sheikha, the whole thing is all about different types of Sheikha, but more specifically is because, let's just give a reminder, this is an old screen you've seen from beforehand, from the beginning, our introduction, that the way you make beer is you take barley, the barley gets broken down into what we'll call sugar, in non-scientifically we'll call it a sugar, and yeast to makes alcohol, that's how you have alcohol, and then if you add hops to the alcohol, end up with what we call beer. Okay, and if you remember the chart, the point being is that everything, the green on the bottom, the sugar turning and yeast turning to alcohol, that's every single alcoholic beverage. The what you put in barley is how you get the sugar, that depends on what you're trying to make. You'll see later then.
Wouldn't the hops after you make alcohol?
Or before. I put it in, I didn't mean it the time that you put it in. What I mean is it's a flavoring agent on it. It has nothing to do with the making of the alcohol. Hops don't become alcohol. Hops is just a flavoring.
I'm sorry, how does barley or sukhazara become into sugar?
It gets broken down. Barley is a starch.
Mix it with water?
In the case of barley, you just put it into warm water and it begins to break down by itself. It's like
warm water.
It's like turning, it begins to fade, it germinate. It's like corn becoming corn syrup. Barley, it starts to grow, so to speak, and it turns itself into barley
syrup. I'll take some barley from the bag and put it to
water. No, it won't work in your house because in your house they've taken off too much of the outside. It won't work. If you take regular barley and you put it into water, warm water, that's what happens. Yeah, it turns into a sweet syrup, like malt syrup. Like if you think Gershon, that's what malt syrup is. Okay, that sweet syrup is malt, or like a malt in your Rice Krispies. Okay, and so that's how you make beer. Okay, this is an old screen. This is how you make beer. Okay. So we're going to see, we're going to do it quickly, we're not going to talk about the details, because there are six questions that a person has to think about in making beer. And the first one, is the connection to our din, that talks about Sheikha all over the place. And the first one is there a question of Bishlakim? Okay, in order, there's a cooking of that barley gets cooked, gets heated up to make it usable, and this din is the place where people talk about it. And that Gemara, the Tosis and that Gemara, talk about why is it not Bishlakim? If the people cooked the barley to make this product, why is it not Bishlakim? So, briefly, the reason this Tosis gives two reasons, brought here in Pesach over here also, is either because beer is not Oleh Shulchan Lachem, or because the beer is considered a tuffel to the water, just like you make a Shahakal on beer, you don't make a Mazonis on beer, it's considered to be flavored water rather than a extract from the beer and the extract from the barley, and therefore, for those two reasons, it doesn't need Bishlakim for both those same reasons. It's a Shilin Peskin, so they talk about it. So, we're going to say it briefly is because when we go to Sim Kufi Gimel, Halacha, sort of Aleph, but also Beis and Gimel, chapter 28, if you have the book, we spoke about it then, so I'm not going to repeat that. Okay, so that's the first thing. The first thing is Bishlakim, okay? Okay, the next thing to consider. Yeah, put up a big screen, right? Okay, the next one is, I'm going to say it again, don't worry. The next one is if it comes from Eretz Yisrael. Okay, so we always assume that if it comes from Eretz Yisrael, you have to be worried that the barley and the hops have the mitzvahs of Tzuyas Ba'aretz. You need to be mafreshim shemayshus. But we've recently been told by someone, a reputable person, that's not true. That at least at this point in Eretz Yisrael, all the barley and hops is imported from other places. So we'll see about other general kashrus questions that maybe if there are fancier beers that have other ingredients, you have shines of trumas and measures. But at this point, from this reputable person told us, person who lives in Eretz Yisrael, that there's not a concern that those things come need have fresh trumas and measures, which was good news. It makes it easier.
What would be the factor if it's related or even more than related?
This person made it like it's zero, like it's just not the way the business runs. Okay. I don't know. Okay, number three. The third thing to think about is, aside from putting in barley and hops, you put in yeast. Okay, now this question of putting in yeast into something is not specific to beer. Every single alcoholic beverage has yeast in it. Once in a while, the yeast is natural. It grows in the product. Like in wine, you could get yeast off the peel, in theory. In certain places, yet the yeast is a natural thing. But just that everybody puts in yeast, and that's a question. Could you buy why beer? What's the question? Is the he's kosher? Does it make a difference? In Mirza Shem, we talk about that in Halacha Vav. Okay. We'll talk about it in Halacha Vav. Okay. So I'm just telling you that it's not. This is not specific to beer. Everything that every alcoholic beverage has got yeast in it.
Added yeast. That's not.
Usually it's added. It could be natural to it. Also natural, of course. Then you don't have to think about it. Shaila about it. But nowadays, almost everybody adds it, and they don't take it off the peel. So it has a shayla. Mirza Shem Halacha Vav. Okay. Ingredients. The traditional way to make beer has only four ingredients, as I told you. Barley, yeast, hops, and water. Okay, those are the four ingredients to make beer. There's a really long word in German. Hops is a flour. It's a flour that makes the beer taste bitter. Okay, so hops is it's a plant. That's the name of the plant. So this is long German word. The long German word that Akiva can pronounce if he's not here today. Keep it coming out, which is that you're supposed to make it out of only these four ingredients, okay? Which is fine. These four ingredients are relatively straightforward. Some other people have started. What's going on is that some people add other ingredients because they think it makes a better beer. Fine. Some people, what's happened is that if you're a little guy and you want to compete with the big guys, then you have to distinguish yourself, okay? So the big guys are good at making traditional regular beers. If you want to say, no, I'm special because I know how I can do something unusual, part of being unusual is to say, I put in unusual things. Okay, so if you put in simpler things, like wheat, or different botanical, different kinds of other flowers that give a flavor, Akiva was just telling me this morning about a guy who puts in coriander and orange peels. Okay, so coriander and orange peels are kosher. Okay, so the same is things are straightforward enough. So it's different, it's not a regular beer, but it shouldn't be a kosher question, but... things get more complicated when people start adding in other things. Like there's a thing called oyster stout. Okay, that's beer made with oysters. Okay, it's or beer. What?
Yeah,
oh, sorry. Okay, oysters. Or there's other ones that are made with milk. Okay, I'm sorry. Okay, you can't deal with the technology now. Milk, which is right now. There's a big. There's actually a difference. Just for your curiosity, there's a difference between oyster stout and milk stout. The difference being is that milk has lactose in it. Okay, lactose is a sugar. So in the lactose that you put in there will actually create alcohol. There will be alcohol made from the lactose. The milk will actually, the thing that you put in will actually turn into beer. As opposed to if you put in oysters are not going to turn into alcohol. They just give a flavor. Okay, but that's just a technicality. But anyway, so there's other things. People put in flavors into beer. Okay, so
would they put in allergens?
Yeah, there would be allergens. So what I was going to say to you was is that the kind of people who put these things in, people don't put in oysters and don't tell you about it. Okay, if you go into the whole ASIC to put in oysters, you're going to say, my special beer has got this, I'll say it's got the secret ingredient. Or more like, I'll tell you what it has. It's got crabs, okay? I have crabs or lobsters or all kinds of interesting things that people put in. Okay? It's potentially possible, but it's all of a sudden you have to be more aware. You see a thing that says that this thing has lobsters in it, that puts in lobsters in it, so then that's not such a simple beer. Okay. Next thing is, okay, isinglass. Okay? What in the world is isinglass? Okay? That I believe is a sturgeon, okay? Not kosher fish. Okay? So isinglass is after you finish making your beer, you have the whole beer is finished, then in the protein floating around inside the beer and it makes it cloudy. Okay? It makes the beer look fuzzy and doesn't look like as clean as it's supposed to look. Okay, as clear as people like it to taste. So you put something in, it's called a flocculant, okay? A flocculant, which is something that when it does like this, it collects all of the protein clumps together, get all the protein to clump together, then the protein falls to the bottom or falls to the top, and you can get it out. And it makes your beer clear. Okay, so the traditional way to do it was from the bladder of a fish. It's called isinglass. That's from, and sturgeon is a common fish that's used. Sturgeons are not kosher. Isinglass is made from this tray fish. It's made from the tray fish. So that has a question to it, whether that affects the status of the beer. And we spoke about that when we went in Hilchos Tehillim in Sim Pei Daled Sim Yud Gimel. That sefer is not out yet. It'll be chapter 44, if you're curious. That's coming. But we spoke about that then, whether it affects it, and whether you'll have to buy it, whether you'll have to chatchila. So that's another question that there is. Nowadays, that's a question. Nowadays, it's not so common for people to use isinglass. more people just use chemicals. The chemicals have their own chemicals, okay? The flocculants. Okay. And
picture on the thing has fins and scales. So.
Okay, so you can try to, if you can peel any scales off that fish, then you can have it. Okay? I don't think getting off the screen. Okay, I don't think it's kosher. Okay. And the last one is, kalem issues. Okay, kalem issues means like this. If the company, your beer is clean, your beer has nothing in it that would have a shilut. Everything is simple and straightforward. Okay? But the person before you, the beer that they made before you had oysters in it. Okay? Or had something in it that could potentially make the kalem trace. So now the beer that I'm looking at has, the ingredients are simple. There's no question, none of these questions come up. But there's a question, the kalem that it was made on. You may remember, we dealt with this once in a very particular case. Akiva deals with this every day. But we dealt with it in a bigger case when Budweiser started making a beer that had clams in it. Okay, and the question was how that affects all the rest of the beers that they make. Okay, they make all kinds of other beers. So their regular beer, you say, wait a second, the regular beer, what could be wrong with it? So wait a second, but because a minute beforehand, they made clams. And the questions are two parts. One is on the making of it, the parts of the process that are hot. And also they pasteurize it, at least in bigger companies, they pasteurize it. They put it into a can and then they pasteurize it and put it in a tunnel pasteurizer. So equipment, and part of our recommendations for what beers we do or don't let have to do with the kalem, which is to say, if it looks like the kind of a place where they may have made on the same kalem something that's would trace up the kalem, then that's a reason to not recommend the beer, even if the ingredients in this one are straightforward enough. Okay,
now do like an allergy.
So in thinking about whether the kalem make a difference, okay, there's a couple of things to think about. Okay, the first is maybe it's bottle. Okay, if the kalem are big enough, it's pretty hard to make bleas. In a big piece of equipment, the bleas will probably not affect the next food. Okay, so that depends on the size of the place. Is it a little pub that's guy's making this in the back of his store, he's making beer, or is it a huge operation where he's using bigger tanks? Okay, then there's Hanan. You have to remember, the treif beer is not pure clams, it's not all made out of lobsters, it's only a small amount of it. So how much does that pull it to the next food? And this is called the parish, which is, let's say there's a certain amount of bottles that it can make treif. Okay, but who said that the bottle that I got is the treif one? Maybe I got the kosher one. Okay, then when the company makes 1,000 bottles of beer, okay, there's enough beer to make 500 of them treif. So
if you go with Hanan, then
so Hanan plays into that. Okay, Hanan plays into that. Okay, so then there's Hagalah. Maybe the company, when they clean up between one product and the next, either for allergens like David said, or just them, they clean up between one and the other. So maybe that qualifies Hagalah. Or last is maybe it's Enid Ben Yarmir. Okay, which is you say, come on, the company's run all the time, but they don't run treif all the time. So they may run 5 days. They may run 5 days for sure if they close for Shabbos. But even after that, they run every day of the week. They don't run treif every day of the week. Okay, so these are all kinds of things to think about. Which is, even if the kalem aren't issue, is it how much of an issue really is? Okay. When they do light beer, there are other ingredients. There are potentially other ingredients. The light itself is not what makes a difference. No, it's not going to.
I thought you might add
Chodosh
at least.
Okay, that's a good point. I should throw that. Okay. Okay. Right now, we're just like Weimer, we're safe at this point. No, you have some problems. Okay. Okay, so I'm sorry.
That included on his list?
Whose list?
The Chodosh list? The Yoshin list?
Does he talk about beer? Yes. Yes, he
does.
Yes. And that's all. It takes time to make beer. Right, it takes time to make beer. So, right, not much of a shot. Mr. Herman, right. Okay, so let's go to our next thing. Okay, I thought this was going to take less time than it did. We ran through this, but okay, our next thing to talk about is sake, or however you pronounce it. Okay, sake. That's how we can't pronounce it, sake. Okay, so sake, this is again an old screen we had, which is, it's the same, all alcoholic beverages are made the same way. You start with something that creates your sugar, in this case it's rice, you turn it into alcohol, and then, voila, then you have sake. Okay, sake is, it's we call it a rice wine, which is to say is you make the alcohol, it takes about 30 days. There's this really unusual way that they make it, a whole special, very specialized process. Instead of what we call yeast, it uses something called koji yeast. Okay, for us, right now it's not relevant, important what that is. For today, that's not important. And we're going to talk about the different parts of the question about whether you can eat sake, and the reason why Akiva's not here is because about a lot of what you're about to hear, just about everything you're about to hear is Chazar Sashir from Akiva. So I said, Akiva, you know, I don't know if you want to come listen to me repeat your Torah. So I'm going to tell you a lot of stuff, but really, Akiva, who's been to Japan to see the places, he took a course to become a certified sake professional. I know he knows pronounces that better. But whatever he is, let's go through the different things. Now, before I tell you the questions, there are going to be three questions. First, like this. There's two ways that people who make sake measure the quality of the sake. Okay? And that is like this. That's like this. The first is, are there any additives to the thing? Is it just the rice wine, or is it other things? And what we care about is, do they add alcohol to it or not? Okay? And they give these names to, I'll do what I can to pronounce them. The Junmai means the more pure. It doesn't have anything else added into it. Okay? There's a technical name, Arutin, if we pronounce that right, which says that added things in it. You won't see that on a bottle. They don't write, this is garbage. Okay? They don't write that on the bottle. Okay? But if they're Junmai, then they'll write that on the bottle. Okay? And then the second part is like this. The
ferment is the better one.
The Junmai is the better. It's more pure. It's just the rice alcohol. The other thing is, when you make sake, what happens is, the only thing that ferments is the sugar. The starch turns into sugar and that ferments. The other parts, the oil, the fat, and the protein that's in the rice don't ferment. Right? The only thing that ferments is sugar or starch. Same thing. Sugar and starch, the same thing. So what they do is, they mill off the outside of the rice. They scrape off, essentially, the outer layers of the rice to leave just the center of the rice, just the starch. Okay, the point being is, when you make the more you mill off, the better, the more pure it is. It's just starch without any protein, without any fat into it, and it makes a better product. Okay, so the more you mill off, the more they scrape off the rice, the better it is. Okay, so these things are hanjinzo and jinjo and danjinjo, however you pronounce these things, the more you take off, those are different percentages that you took off, the more you take off, the better it is, which is, it's a higher quality. Okay? So
the second one is the worst.
Which is the second one?
That's the worst.
Hanjozo?
Arutin
is the worst. There's two ways to measure how good it is. One is that they have added ingredients to it. That's the top group of those. So the arutin is the worst one. The second is, there's a different measure of the quality of it, which is how much of the outer layer of the rice did you take off. The more you take off, the better.
The bottom,
the lowest one, you're right, is the bottom. That's great.
The lettuce is the top, is chipmunk.
Right, so for example, if you have a sake that's marked as, it's saying on the bottom, it's Junmai Jingo, okay? That means there's no added alcohol, that's the Junmai part of it, and at least 40% of the rice was taken off, okay? So that's what that title, when it says on the sake bottle, it says, this is Junmai Jingo, that means they're describing to you the quality, I know I didn't pronounce that right, they're describing to you the quality of this thing. That's the quality of this rice, of this sake, is the following, okay? Okay, when the way they, I'm mentioning one more piece that you need to know before we go on, and that is the way you make the sake. Everybody who makes it, almost everyone who Akiva knows about, every traditional person who makes it, is the rice is not cooked in water. The rice is cooked with steam. Okay, that's where the cooking of the rice happens in steam. Okay, it has to do with making a better product.
Pure steam.
Okay.
Live steam.
Yes. So now, okay, so there are three things we have to think about. Three things to think about for whether a sake is kosher. The first thing is the ingredients. Okay, the ingredients usually are rice, yeast, water, and koji. Okay, those ingredients we don't.
And koji? What
do you say? Right, the koji helps break down the rice.
What's a koji?
It's a kind of fermentation. It's a kind of way of making a fermentation. Okay, it's too complicated. They do it on wheat bran. I'll fancy how they make a fermentation. If that's Chinese,
food?
Japanese, no, just a style.
It's an ingredient.
It's mold that comes off of a koji fermentation. So we just call it a koji bean story. So it's a Pesach question, not a year-round question. So the yeast comes from one place. There's one place that makes the yeast for everybody in Japan. And these ingredients are assumed to be straightforward enough. Okay, some of them, as I showed you before, and some of them have alcohol added in. Okay? There were those who argued that they're bringing alcohol from New Zealand, which could be made from dairy. Okay, Japan is not so far from New Zealand, relatively. New Zealand's got a lot of dairy alcohol. It doesn't seem like that's a real shot. The people who went there say that's not real concern. And the alcohol is not considered to be a shiloh. We assume it comes from beets or molasses. Okay. The other thing they could add, but they can't add in, flavors into them. Okay, there's such a thing as a banga coconut sake. Okay, I'm not a drinker, so I don't know what to tell you. But there's such a thing as flavors being added on. If there's a flavor added on, then obviously it needs hashgacha. Okay, but it would say that wouldn't be missing into it. If it had a flavor, then it would tell you what that is. On the other side, the other thing is equipment, which beforehand that was a bigger deal. Over here, it's not such a serious concern. Okay, the process of making sake is so specific and so unique that it's not the kind of thing you can make wine in the same kiln. It's nothing like that at all, and therefore we're not so worried about equipment channels. Okay, the big question for sake is bishlakim. Okay, the big question is it bishlakim? Because in order to make this rice wine, you have to cook the rice first. Okay, you cook the rice, you end up with a big pot of rice. Okay, now you have a big pot of rice, now you turn it into this wine. So we have a big pot of rice, which is bishlakim, so then the rice is bishlakim, the drink you make after it should be awesome. Okay? So this
scheme doesn't make a difference.
I'm going to talk about that. Give me a chance. I'm going to tell you. There's a question. The first thing I say, there's a question. There's going to be four potential reasons why it's not bishlakim. Okay, you guys are too smart for me. What can I tell you? Okay, four potential reasons why it's not bishlakim. Okay, the first one is, why are we talking about in this simon, in this sif? And that's because, I told you, by beer, the reason why beer is not bishlakim is because the beer is considered tuffel, the barley is considered tuffel to the water, okay? Or the barley is not oil shukum, or the beer is not oil shukum bachum. So, seemingly, you could say the same thing about the sake also. Maybe the sake should be considered mutter because it's tuffel to the water. It's part of what makes a liquid beverage.
What's the sake?
What?
My beer, when is the bishlakim take place? When you warm up, when you put it to the water?
When you cook the barley?
You can buy. Okay, but then, the barley is not bishlakim, it's mutter. And you cook it in the ikar of the water. Over here, taking an active potential could be also already.
That's exactly what you're saying. Which is, it's not the same. It's not simply not the same. That's correct. It's not the same because over here you took the pot of finished rice. Okay, you took the pot of finished rice, and now you did something else with it. So you took a tray of rice. Rice is bishlakim. You did something else out of it. As opposed to in the beer, you cook the barley in water, and then that you use the water. You're taking the water out of the thing.
You eat 50% milled rice.
We'll get that in a second. Okay, that's going to be number four. We'll get that in number four. Okay? But the argument to say that it's the same as the beer is not so strong. There are those who have argued, that it's one big process. Today I cook the rice, and tomorrow it turns into sake, and that's one long process. And since it's one long process, so I didn't make rice, which is usher, and then turn it into liquid sake, which is mutter, but I just did one big process. Okay, it's a weak argument in this case, seemingly because it's not one long process. You make the rice, and then you take the pot of rice and you go do something else. It's not like you put it into a machine and you put it on the left side and it comes out on the right side and it's finished product. Okay, so the liquid, this is not seemingly not such a great head. Okay, the second is a much more meaningful head to, which is, I told you, all the rice, they always cook it with steam. Many hashgachas, seriously included, say that if something is cooked with live steam, it's not a problem with bishlakim. It's a variation of ishun that the Shulchan Aruch speaks about. And therefore,
it's in the book.
And therefore, it's mutter. So that's also in the book. Very good. I was about to say that. It's chapter 45. Very good. So we spoke about Simon Kufi Gimel, Halachi Gimel, about ishun over there. So you can read that all about over there. So I'm not going to repeat that. But that's a very reasonable reason for why it should be mutter, which is it's always cooked in live steam, so you're off the hook. Okay. Number three, specialized equipment. Okay. In chapter 13, over there, which is in Halacha Gimel, we spoke about Rav Moshe has a shita that says that when you do cooking for something in a non-personal way, meaning in a factory type setting, and you do it in kelim that are different, very different from what you have at home, then that's not bishlakim. Okay, you can go listen to that tape or read chapter 13 to find out why. Okay, that's what Moshe said. If it's made in specialized kelim, then it's okay. So over here, the traditional way to make sake is in a wooden pot. Okay, and this wooden pot's got holes in the bottom of it, and the steam rises up through the bottom of these holes, and it cooks the rice that's sitting inside of there. So everybody would, it's raised up because underneath it the steam is rising up, it's supposed to rise through the bottom of the thing and cook it. So everybody who looks at that says, yeah, that's, when Rav Moshe said he did it in special kingdom, that's special kingdom. No person has a wooden pot with holes in the bottom in their house, okay? That's unusual, that's what Rav Moshe had in mind. So those who are samech on Rav Moshe, or, for example, the OU, who samech on Rav Moshe together with steam, they were good. They said, that's not a problem. They wouldn't have been samech on steam by itself, but steam with this thing of specialized kingdom, they were fine with that. But that's only how some of them are made. Other sake is made in a stainless steel pot. Okay, and the stainless steel pot's got holes in the bottom of it also, so the steam can rise up through it. Okay, well, that, the Yisra of Shechter, Akiva Yisra of Shechter about that, he said no. He says, that's basically a steamer. Okay, I don't know if you have at home, you have a steamer. Okay, that's what it is. It's a pot with holes in the bottom of it for steaming vegetables. Okay, so he says, it's basically just a big steamer. That's not considered specialized gamer, just a big version of what you have at home.
Okay. So there's what's funny enough?
No, is it different? Is it different from what you have at home as opposed to just being bigger? Of course, they have a bigger pot than you. So in your house, you have that same pot.
In what way does it have to be different?
I don't have a specific thing to tell you how it's different. It just has to strike you as being different. So this wooden pot with holes in the bottom of it, that's nothing like you have. You know what I mean? So this metal pot, the stainless steel one.
Is it true about potato chips?
No, nothing to do. It's not a printed chuva. It's not a printed chuva in English Moshe. No, it's a different thing. You right. You read chapter 13 again. Okay, so. Okay, so that's right. Well, that today we're doing a lot of that. Okay, now the other thing is, but there's a third way to cook it, and that's the more commercial way to do it, which is on a conveyor belt. Okay, they put it onto a conveyor belt and they pass it through a tunnel, and in the tunnel it gets steamed in there. As it passes along the belt, that it gets steamed in there. As you can imagine, that's much more efficient and much more commercially viable than one of these kind of things. This is how you do it traditionally, but if you want to do it commercially, then you do it in the conveyor belt. We assume that the conveyor belt is qualified for Rav Moshe's special kelim. Okay, so then this is all going on. The reason why I'm going to mention Rav Shapta again in a second is that this was all going on. Akiva was about to speak about this at some kind of a kashrus conference. I don't remember exactly why it was. So the day before him, he wanted to finish up these points. He spoke to Rav Shapta. So he said to him, "What do you think? If I go to the store and I buy one, and again, this is not for hashkacha. If you're giving hashkacha, you'd say, is it in the wood container? Fine. Is it in the stainless steel one? No good. If it's in the conveyor belt, it's okay. But what about me, the consumer, walking into a store, and I don't know how they made it?" So Rav Shechter said, if you want to read it, if you could read that quickly, he said is, the assumption is that if you're buying a product, particularly in America, coming from Japan, then you're probably getting something from somebody who made it commercially, who made it in the with this conveyor belt type of system, where you could assume that it's qualified that it came in the specialized kelim, and there's not a problem with bishlak and tzevi also. Okay. Now, our last reason. I know you finished reading by now, right? Okay.
So the very small guys and the very big guys won't have a problem.
Right. It's not just in between people. Again, what Rav Shechter saying is, that's negated to us, we'd be giving hashkacha. You have to pay attention. If the OU would be giving hashkacha, they have to pay attention to which way it was made. But for the consumer, he said, don't worry about it. Now, the CRC pump would not worry about it because we would have been monitored no matter what if it was cooked in live steam. But he, the OU, will only do it if it's steam and specialized kale. So then he would have to pay attention if he was giving hashkach. Okay, now, the last factor is, the other part of what Tyson says is this Erlo Shulchan Lachem? Now, the question is not whether the Saki is Erlo Shulchan Lachem. The question is whether the rice, when it was cooked, is it Erlo Shulchan Lachem? So,
the Saki definitely is Erlo Shulchan.
That's a question. Once it gets to the sake state point, okay, you know, that's a good question. That's a good question. I'll say it's not. I'm not sure. So you're saying if the finished product is, then we maybe have we could say that it is Erlo Shulchan Lachem. I'm going to put that on the side. I don't know. Remember I told you that in order to make sake, you scrape off the outer layers of the rice. Okay. In fact, some companies use specialized sake rice, not your regular rice. That grows with a lot of starch. These small little pieces that grow with a lot of starch. But even the guys who take regular rice, they scrape off all the protein and the fat. So if you think about it, what you're doing is you're taking away the, if I can use the word, the tastier parts of the rice and leaving just the starchy parts of the rice. So there were those who argued, and they said, this rice that you're going to be cooking in the pot, you're not cooking plain rice. It's not a pot of rice that you have in your house. First, you scraped off all the tastier parts of it, leaving behind just the starchier parts of it. So chances are that rice is not going to be Olos HaKlachim. You wouldn't serve that kind of rice to somebody because it doesn't taste like good rice. Again, you've scraped off good parts of it to leave just the starch. That was so there was argument to say it's not Olos HaKlachim. So, Marquis went to Japan. When he was in the factories, he tasted the rice. Okay? He tasted the rice coming off of when it was in the rice stage, when it had been cooked into rice, before it had been turned into sake. He says, is this rice that we have over here, after it was steamed, is it Olos HaKlachim? They scraped off all the I don't remember, maybe they made it bishri, so I don't know why they tasted it. What did he say? Oh, that's right, because it was mutter, because it was steamed. That's true. It was mutter him because it was steamed. But the question was, is it Olos HaKlachim? Okay, is it Olos HaKlachim at that point? So he tasted it, and I tasted it. He brought some home for me. He tasted it, and it was awful. Okay, it was pasty and disgusting, dry and awful. I mean, he said, no one ever served this stuff.
You had a regret.
So wait a second. So he said, no one ever served this stuff. What? I'm getting to that. He said, no one ever served this stuff. This is not possible. This is Olos HaKlachim. But that's what he said. It was like, it tastes like rubber. Okay? But to which Rabbi Cooper, who is the OU Mashgiach in Japan, he lives in Eretz Yisrael, he's an OU Mashgiach in Japan, who took Akiva around to see these places, he said, no, you're not making an honest judgment at this point. Because the people, when they cook the rice to make sake, they only cook it k'macha ben drusayi. They don't have to cook it all the way. They only have to cook it. They're not cooking it because they want to eat it. They're cooking it so that it can work for the next part of the process. Now, the thing is, if a guy cooks it k'macha ben drusayi, it's usher. The food is usher. Even though everyone understands that k'macha ben drusayi, it's not Olos HaKlachim. Food that's partially cooked, you don't serve it in a Shulchan Aruch. That's obvious. The answer is, what it means is, the guy cooked the k'macha ben drusayi, think about what it would be if he would cook it all the way. Is this food, that extra part that has to be cooked is considered like a little, not like adding salt. You just have to do a little bit more, then that's considered that the guy cooked the food, which is Olos HaKlachim. Even though in the form, when he walked out the door, it was only k'macha ben drusayi. So Rabbi Kuber said, if you want to see if this stuff is really Olos HaKlachim, don't taste it in its partially cooked form, finish the cooking, and then taste it. Okay? So that's what he did. So Akiva took the rice that he had brought back, and he finished off the cooking. And we tasted it as did Rabbi Reis. He brought it to Rabbi Reis to taste it, and it was perfectly fine. It tasted like perfectly fine rice. Okay, it was 100%. There was nothing wrong with it. So Rabbi Kuber was correct in that assumption. That said, the reason why to you it tastes like rubber is because you're tasting it when it's k'macha ben drusayi. And so that means that even though they scraped off these outer layers, there was nothing wrong with the rice. The rice was perfectly fine. In which case, which is to say, is that this tzad, to say that it's not Olos HaKlachim, did not fly. Okay, it did not turn out to be a reasonable chashash. So for us, the reasons to say that it's mutter is either we would be mutter just stam because of the steam. The specialized equipment, we're not samuch on that by itself, but others are samuch on those betzir. So just to summarize, what we stand with the sake, that if the unless someone adds flavors, they would notice if they're flavors. Then we say they're all recommended. They're all okay. The people who want to be extra careful, would get the better versions of it. I remember all the Japanese words, the better versions of it, the hanjazo, jinjo, whatever. Some of those better versions that we have reason, that there's nothing added to them, and there's more scraped off, vahena, some of those veterans have an advantage. But really, all of them would be okay.